Thank you, President of the Sangathan, Jagati Konkani Sangathan, and the other office bearers who made it possible for me to come and share my views with you this evening. As Professor Valerian Rodrigue said, that I was resisting coming here. It's not really true that I was resisting. I was hesitant to come. And that's because I'm as novice and in and on Konkani as perhaps few of my friends here. So that was my initial hitch, no other reason. But I'm very thankful to all of you that who really made it possible for me to come. Mangalore seems to be a very nice place, very close to Goa, very much like Goa. And this brings me to one particular anecdote or incident, you can say, that I can begin with. It was 1988 that was my first introduction to Konkani. I'm a linguist and I teach field linguistics, and I basically we work on minority languages and minor languages and endangered languages and tribal languages. In that respect, Konkani never fit the bill. But I had read during my student days that Konkani was derived from Middle Indo-Aryan and branched off from Prakrit relatively at a very early stage. And it had retained several features of its archaic nature. And yet, when I came to know that it was not a language of the schedule, 8th schedule, and it had gained the official status in 1987, and I started making plans in 1987 to visit this place to see that how can a language which is an offshoot of Middle Indo-Aryan from Prakrit, such an early stage, is still considered a dialect of Marathi. And it only gave me an impression that perhaps we are mixing somewhere. I mean, Marathi could be a dialect of Konkani, but Konkani, how can Konkani be a dialect of Marathi? And without going into this problematic question, because dialect, what is a language, what is a dialect, is totally a political question. And linguists generally keep away from this, and if they are asked to give verdict on this, we try to avoid it. Because the biggest example in front of us is today Hindi, which is considered a bhasha. It was a boli just 200 years ago. It was a khadi boli. The name of the language was khadi boli. And Braj bhasha, which is now considered dialect of Hindi, was a very rich literary traditional language. So language and dialect are very, very political questions, and I didn't want to get into that. But structurally, we wanted to find out what the situation was. And I teach my students how to look into the linguistic structures and write grammar. So linguists are very boring people, actually. I do not know why Valerian has brought me here, because I only grapple with various kinds of grammars of various Indian languages. Nonetheless, that was 1988, and I remember when I first started my fieldwork in Goa, and we were living in Shiroda, a small village 35 miles away from Panjim. Everybody, why are you working on Konkani? You work on Marathi, you don't have a grammar. And I said, well, if you don't have a grammar, how are you communicating with each other? Obviously, you have some rules of grammar, that's how you're communicating. And this invariably happened at every village and every place we went, and everybody said, don't work on our language. This is no language, you know, it's just a dialect of Marathi, and we don't have a grammar. Well, that was the mindset in 1988. And I'm happy that when we and the newspapers, like today, there were a lot of media appraisal, and they published this. The JNU team has come, and they are saying that Konkani is an independent language from Marathi, and this, and it was published. And then some of the authors, writers, and poets also saw me, and I also joined in their fight for recognizing Konkani as the 8th scheduled language. But the rest is the history, because in 1992, Konkani gained the status of 8th scheduled. But it's interesting that how languages do become official languages and state languages and then scheduled languages, and these are political questions. Nonetheless, I subsequently visited Konkan area, Goa, with my students in 89 and 90 as well as in 91. So 4 years we worked on Madgaon Konkani and Panjim Konkani, Shiroda Konkani we had already worked, and then we lived in Sodan, or it's called Shorao in English, Shorao Konkani. And I also was introduced to the dialectal difference between Christian and Hindi Konkani, though it's very, very minor in nature. Speakers before me had talked about the multiplicity of the scripts of Konkani, and I always tell my students that Konkani is like a water. You put in a, it takes the shape of the vessel it is put in. And I think it's the beauty of the language, and it's also the generosity of the language, that the multiplicity of scripts has flourished on its own. I remember Dr. Eric said that we should have a, there is no language if it does not have a script of its own. I don't understand the term own, you see, because Spanish, French, English, German, they are all written in Roman script, but we can't say that they don't have the identity of their own. So script, unfortunately, has been taken as a marker to mark the identity. But it's not necessarily so, otherwise there are so many languages which are written in the same script will lose their identity. So that's one thing, but you would be happy to know that there are 25 scripts in India, and only 11 of them are used for 8th schedule languages, that is the languages recognized in 8th schedule. And the scripts in India, which is a very interesting aspect, most of the script, in fact all the scripts of India, are derived from Brahmi script. And this started, the Brahmi script started the early phase, 3rd century, I think, BC to 6th century AD. And then the middle or the transition phase started from 7th century to 10th century AD. And the modern period from which most of the scripts have been derived in India are 11th century onwards. And these are the modern scripts. So most of the languages, most of the scripts, Indo-Aryan as well as Dravidian, are derivatives of Brahmi script. And the only exception is Karoshthi. Karoshthi was a script which was written for Gandhari in the northwestern Punjab, South Asian culture. That was a very different script. And later on, the Perso-Arabic script, which is used for writing Urdu. So these are the only two scripts which are exceptions, but nonetheless the other scripts that we use, you know, are all derived from the Brahmi script. The emphasis on the oral form of language rather than on the written form of documentation has led its effects in non-standardization and genesis of multiplicity of scripts within India. As you know that right from the very beginning, from the Rig Veda times, the orality had been very much an important issue for us. And linguists also work on oral tradition more than the written tradition. That's why I'm not really an expert on scriptology, or I can say much on script. But I can certainly make you aware of that, how script, or which are the advantages of various scripts depicting various languages. So in our country, writing has been viewed as an adjunct to or a reflection of true language, that is the spoken word. And that is why we never developed a kind of an aesthetic touch, or you can say the aesthetic aspects to the script, unlike the Perso-Arabic script, the calligraphy that they've developed, you see, in Perso-Arabic script. And what none of the scripts, though they do with the region, for example, if you take Uriya script, they have a temple kind of a round structure on top, and the Telugu script also, and Kannada script has also circular motion. So each script has its own identity, marker of various shapes and sizes, but the kind of calligraphy that was adopted to develop Perso-Arabic script, we did not develop, primarily because we were concentrating on the representation of the spoken word. And the whole idea of evolving a script was that the script should be as close to the spoken word as possible. Now this was very much unlike the ancient Egyptian script, you can say, hieroglyphics. And as you perhaps all know, that hieroglyphics was not deciphered till 1799, as recent as that, when we found the Rosetta Stone. And when the Rosetta Stone was found for the first time, the ancient Egyptian script was deciphered. And the script is basically pictures. If any of you had ever seen this, you know, you have an owl, which basically ultimately led to the letter M, you see, because owl has a, the Egyptian owl has two protruding ears on the top, which became the, you know, the semicircles of M, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, this script was now closer to the spoken word. Look at Chinese. Chinese script is pictorial too, but it has an abstract picture. It is not like you put the owl as an owl, but there has a shape of an owl which means an owl. So it's very conceptual in nature. But the same script, when it traveled to Japan, it developed two different kind of scripts. One is called kanji, the other is called kana. Now kanji is a more or less the same kind of pictorial script which the Chinese had. But the kana is a syllabic script. That is, it represents just a syllable like pa, da, ka, cha, like that, which has no meaning. But the kanji has the meaning. And the two combinations of these two make the Japanese script. Similarly, you have other scripts in various, like Korea also. In Korean also, they have a script which is not closer to the spoken word. So, coming back to what I was saying, that Indian languages scripts have been very closer to the spoken word, and that perhaps is the reason that they have followed the derivatives of Brahmi script. I'll come to it to you in a short while to tell you that what are the advantages, what are the characteristic features of these Brahmi script which makes it so closer to the spoken word. But before I go on further, let me just recapture what has been said before by you and by other members also, that yes, Konkani script today is written in Malayalam, in Kannad, in Devanagari, and in Roman. Unfortunately, Devanagari script is associated with a religious identity also. The Nagari script does not have to be necessarily be associated with the religious script. This does not happen in Chhattisgarh. This does not happen in Jharkhand, because the Nagari script is followed by all the tribals, but they don't associate with Hinduism or Hindu identity. The tribes are basically Munda, or they are drawn from the Dravidian group, and they all use Nagari script. And a new feature I'm seeing is coming up in the Northeast also, which, you know, linguistically the most heterogeneous states are these seven states in the Northeast, and they are also moving towards the Nagari script because the benefits are a lot, because it's a national language, it is a language for upliftment, and they think if they can write in Hindi, they can get jobs, and there are many plenty of. So the multiplicity of Konkani script actually is associated with the history of several things, including the subjugation by Portuguese on Konkani, and they banned the literature and the language, and, you know, that is the history, you know better than me. And also because the Konkans migrated from Goa to the first in 16th century and 18th century to Karnataka and then to Kerala and so on and so forth. But I don't call this minority varieties. You see, I'm opposed to this, and I don't like this term of minority variety. I'll call these transplanted varieties, because they came from the original place, from Goa, and they transplanted here. But they are not minority varieties in the sense of minority. In fact, and it's very heartening to see that they have adopted the script of the host state. So Konkani is written in Malayalam script in Kerala, and Konkani is written in the script of Kannada, Kannada script in Karnataka, and so on and so forth. So these are actually transplanted varieties, and they have chosen, not by force, by themselves, a particular script, because they want to be read by the host state, right? They don't want to be confined to themselves alone, but they want to spread out, and that's why. So there is nothing wrong about this. Though Goan Kurka, the Christian variety, has maintained the Roman script again for a larger readability, because they want to cross the boundaries and go across the states and also to the other states. And now, as I was reading about this Jagatik Konkani Sangathan, I did not realize they have international members, and so I'm sure the Roman script must be coming much more useful to get across to all these people and all these communities. Since the mutual intelligibility thread runs through all these varieties of Konkani. Because there are varieties of Konkani which are decided by the religious identities, also by regional identities, and also by caste identities, as has been said by the chairperson. Despite these varieties, there is a mutual intelligibility thread, and hence the common script certainly is a good proposition, as the secretary of the Sangathan made it in the beginning, unity in diversity. That's what Mr. Eric said, and nobody will disagree that there should be unity in diversity, but the question is how and what are the advantages of having this identity. Because people do see the diversity of scripts as a serious barrier. I can see that. Because how do you read each other's literature, and how do you read, how do you write letters or do any kind of a written formation of communication between various states if each of you have a different script? I can see that. But before you decide that, you must ask questions. What is the state language and script commonly used in education of that state? Suppose you change overnight the script of that script of Konkani in a state, let's say in Kerala or in Karnataka, what good would you achieve? Because overnight it will make people illiterate. And this reminds me, what happened at the time of partition, 1947. Can you think of the dilemma and the chaos that there was created in 1947? All are educated Punjabis from West Pakistan who were trained in Perso-Arabic script. To read and write, came to India, came to this part of India, and they were totally at loss, because everywhere they went, either English was used or Hindi was used. And they were Hindu Punjabis. They were Hindu Punjabis, but they had never learnt Devanagari. In fact, in the old Punjab, the women were always taught Devanagari, and men were always taught Perso-Arabic script, Urdu, to communicate outside, to work on the trade and the business. So that domain was very fixed. Women were taught Devanagari so that they could read Ramayana, and so that was the main job. So there was a diasporic condition of script inside the house. But imagine the plight of these, I don't like to call them refugees, but these migrant people, our own people, when they came here. And they had to deal with the officers to claim their whatever they left at the back in Pakistan, but they could not approach any offices, because I have heard people saying that we could not communicate, we could not write a single sentence, though it was our country, our land, but we just became illiterate overnight. You see, now think of the same situation when you are talking about the common script, or the script which is not known or familiar to the state that the Konkani is spoken to in. And this is a very crucial issue, and there is no easy answer for such, but it is I thought I should bring this out to you so that you give a good thinking on this, that how should we achieve unity in diversity. That has been the question that Mr. Eric raised. The other question that we have to think about it, what is the modern trend? And I see that suddenly there are modern industries like Google and Microsoft, and our young children are only talking in those languages, talking about Hinglish, because now the new term has been joined for, because when you get SMS in your mobile, you see the Hindi message written in Roman, or there are a lot of English input also. But so the question is, should this script be based on Roman? And that, since most of the people sitting here do use Roman script, they would be better than me to tell you what are the advantages and disadvantages in those script. However, when I checked with Sahitya Academy, they have been giving awards in Konkani, which is written in Nagari script. So these are various issues that you have to think about it. Now, coming back to the Brahmi script and derivatives that I talked about, I think it's my duty just to tell you that how the derivatives of Brahmi script evolved various scripts, whether Kannada or Malayalam or Devanagari or Marathi is also written in Nagari, but others, how they are closer to the spoken word. And I will not become very technical, but I'll try to explain it as simple words as possible. You see, the basic unit is the graphic syllable. So you have a letter ka or kha or whatever, it's a graphic, it's a syllable which is called akshara. Now the phonetic structure, there is a phonetic structure to this akshara, and the phonetic structure is one consonant, one vowel. So when you say ka, there is a ka and a vowel combined together. You cannot segregate the two. If you do, then in Sanskrit you use a halant, which is a diacritic mark at the bottom of the letter, which means there is no vowel attached to it. The other interesting aspect of these Brahmi script and its derivatives are that there are vowels and consonants have separate letters or aksharas, and it starts with vowels. So you have an individual letter for a and a and e and e and so on and so forth, and you have an individual letters for the rest of the consonant ka and kha and ga and ga and so on and so forth. The thirdly, all these individual vowel letters also have a possibility of being represented as a diacritic mark, or we call matras. So e can also be written as in a form of a diacritic mark which is attached to a consonant letter. Now all this was devised basically to be as closer to the spoken word as possible. And other thing is that the cluster of two consonants which are called sanyukta akshar can be written together to tell you that there is no intervening vowel. Okay, and the alphabets, which is known as varnamala, garland of letters, follow a very logical logical sequence, unlike English. So you have the vowels in the beginning, and when the consonants come, you start reciting from the velar, come forward in the palatal region, come forward in the Murdhanya region, then it the dentals, and then the labials. So there is a whole arch of vocal tract, and the point of articulations are there. Very systematic, unlike English, you start with a vowel A, and then you have a bilabial B, and then you have a fricative S. I mean, this is very haphazard. There is no logical sequence. Now, this type of script, which combines some features of syllable, and some features of alphabetic writing, because it combines both, you see, is very peculiar to Indian scripts. It's so peculiar that it's not only it's rare among scripts elsewhere, in it's nowhere in the world you find such a system. India is the only country where you have a script which combines both the syllabic writing as well as the alphabetic writing. There's only one exception, and this exception is the Ethiopic scripts. In Ethiopia you have scripts which are similar to ours, where you have combination of syllable and so their akshara also has a combination of syllabic structure and alphabetic structure. However, there is one difference: they don't have full vowel signs. So they don't have full vowel signs like a, a, e, e, u, u. They don't have those. So you know, the Brahmi script and its derivatives, to capture this, my discussion, that the Brahmi scripts and its derivatives are basically the scripts which are very close to the spoken phenomena, very close to the spoken word, and hence they are developed like this. So coming back to the question, which script the Konkani should follow, if you follow any of the derivatives of Brahmi script, it doesn't matter, because then you are closer to the spoken word. But if you follow the Roman script, then you have various advantages and the disadvantages also, because I will bring, according to my knowledge, there are problems I find with Roman script, but I'm sure you must have found diacritics, because as I said, my experience with Konkani was 20 years ago, and I have not gone back to the state because I had been working on endangered languages and so on and so forth. But problems like how do you represent the word like ti means she, right? But ti means they. Now this e, this nasalization or anuswar, how do you represent that in English? Or for example, you have te, which means they, and you have te, which means he, right? Or you have go means husband, and gom means wheat, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of contrasts which have to be distinguished by some kind of a diacritic. Similarly, the retroflex sounds, like the word for did is kale, but the word for banana is kale. Now this retroflex lateral is difficult to. Similarly, you have other words like, how do you say grass tong, ton. Now this is very difficult to write in Roman, and you need lot of diacritic features to write ta and then o and then ra, all the three letters, you see. Then you have other problems with the other sounds, but I can go on the sound differences, which are very difficult to capture on Roman script. But I was looking at some of the materials produced in Roman, and I realized that yes, you have coined some diacritic marks to represent, yet the contrast is not so clear as it is clear in any of the derivatives of Brahmi script or Nagari. The question is, what script Konkani should follow? Now this is a complex matter. After describing the problems and the advantages of one over the other, I myself am not sure what the script should be followed by Konkani, because this involves political, geographical, cultural, religious, historical, and many other factors. So, should the script represent spoken word? Is that the question? Or should it represent the identity of a person? And if it is the identity of a person, do you define identity of a person by just one factor, and that's script? I mean, I thought identity was a complex matter, because identity is always defined by very, very complex and interconnecting factors, and that defines the identity. So it's very difficult to say whether it defines the identity also. Should it have a visibility across the world? That's one question which is, I'm sure, is being risen in many of you, that our script should be such that it should be should have the visibility across the world. And sure, Roman script does have the visibility across the world. There's no other Hindi or Devanagari or Kannad or Malayalam script does not have that kind of visibility. Now the question, should it be one single uniform script which can be used in all four states and in all four varieties, so that the irrespective of distinct and diverse language use forms, readers of one variety can read the other variety? Now that's a very significant question we can ask, that irrespective of the varieties, if we can evolve one common script. But then I go back to my earlier question, that if we artificially evolve one script which can cross the boundaries of various states and various religious identities, then that script will be new to the people, and then you will be creating new illiterates in all the states. So that, I'm sure, that cannot be followed. So the users of the language have to make a decision. We linguists, or we are people who are outsiders, certainly cannot give you a solution that what could be the one language. We can only inform you about the beauties of various scripts. So should it be Nagari, should it be Roman, should it be Kannad, or should it be Malayalam? I don't have a one point answer. The literacy rate and also the literature produced in various languages or various scripts has to be taken into account also, because there are states and there are scripts in which Konkani literature is very rich. You cannot just overlook them or just keep them aside and introduce a new script. What we have to think about, we have to think of a script which educate larger and larger number of masses, and also produce larger number of literate people. So you have to think of not just one state, you have to think of many states where the Konkani is spoken. As a linguist, I can only give you one, I do not know if it's a solution, but it is one suggestion I can give from my own experience. I have recently produced a dictionary in three languages and four scripts. And this is a dictionary of Great Andamanese language. And this is it's a hard format as well as in a digital format. And I think the very first thing that the Konkani Sangathan perhaps can do is undertake a simple thing like this, make a dictionary of all these four varieties and four different scripts. That's where you can begin your journey of at least making it, facilitating people from all the four states to read, to understand each other, what does this word mean and what, how it is represented in another script and so on and so forth. And you can have, you can run translation into as many languages as possible. So you can have a Konkani word written in Malayalam and explain it in Kannada, or explain it in English, but you also write it in Kannada and so on and so forth. There are, now since I have done this job, I know it's a very very time consuming and a very laborious job, but I mean, with an organization like this, nothing is impossible. So that's one suggestion I can only make, that you can make a multi-scriptal digital dictionaries of Konkani. And when I say digital, it's because you have people across states, so you just need a CD to send it across and people can see it on computer. But this will be in addition to your hard copy. This does not rule out the hard copy. So that is one thing. I mean, literature, transliteration of literature is another feature that you can think of doing it, so that there's what you say, unity in diversity. I will say, excuse me, basically bringing people closer so they can read each other. Thank you. And lastly, I will say that in doing all this, you follow the already existing rich tradition, literary tradition. You should not forgo that. And before I end my talk, I would like to just share with you, and this is interesting, by just read, I was reading something and I came across this. In 1939, the first All India Konkani Conference was held in Karwar in North Kannada. 1939, 83 years ago. And the objectives of the conference were to bring together Konkani speakers from different regions. There is something. Excuse me. Inhaling something which is giving me this, I do not know what it is. Anyway, I'll cut short. You know, the objectives of this conference, it's so interesting. The objectives of conference were more or less same of the objectives of the conference today. And I was wondering, has nothing changed in 83 years, except that this is saying that one of the objectives is to bring all the Konkani varieties should be written in Nagari script. But now, obviously, the Konkani is written in several scripts, so we have multiple scripts and multiple varieties. Because you see, it very clearly says, the conference advocated the use of the Nagari script and suggested that illiterate Konkani speakers be introduced to literacy through Nagari scripts, and then it suggests that a lot of textbooks should be produced and literacy material should be produced in this. But I was just very amused to see that in 1939, then the second conference held somewhere in between 1942 and 1939, because the third conference of this All India Konkani Conference was 1942. This is all pre-independence. So Konkani is an old, rich language, very rich, high, great, very great, great literary tradition, and has been spoken and written for a large number of years. But I can understand the problem is very genuine. But whatever you take a decision, as I said, the decision has to be taken by you, the users, the speakers, the writers of Konkani. But the decision should be such that it should not overlook the great literary tradition, nor it should create illiterates overnight, and nor it should make it so difficult for people to learn that they just, you know, give it up, and that way you will be harming Konkani itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Gandhi. An issue which was thrown up has been friends, an issue which came to be introduced initially has been reflected upon, has been complicated, and some specific guidelines and some law indications with regard to these issues have been offered by Professor Rafi. Shall we have a discussion for about half an hour now on different aspects of our presentation? Let's have like this. You can ask questions, you can make your views clear, and what we will do is, just because there are so many people who like to make an intervention, we will take up two or three queries at one go and then come back again to the issues, you know, that you want to make, you want to address.
Good evening. I think some very relevant issues have been flagged by Dr. Anita B. I am Miguel Valenza from Goa and proud to be a Konkani speaker. Two, three issues. One is the connect with the past. Whether a person who has written Konkani in Kannada script should become illiterate in his own language because the script is changed to Devanagari or Roman or any other script. Whether a person who has been writing Roman script should be rendered illiterate because the script is changed. This is one issue. The suggestion also which has been given here about transliteration, I think that is something we already done in a, on a small scale which can go in a big scale. And I was very happy here to hear the concept of a multi-language, multi-script dictionary. I think that possibly could be a solution for Konkani, which is already there prominently in four scripts, written in five but very prominently in four. That could be a solution for us. And for the global, when all the computer language across the world for email and internet is Roman script, then that could be a common script that could be used for communication across the world. Orthography has always been a problem. We have the Goa Konkani Academy, which has published one orthography. The Thomas Stephen Konkani Kendra has published another orthography, especially for the pronunciation of some words like gom and go. The use of N and V, and then G-O-N-V to make it gom. Or as in San Juan, in Juan, J-U-A-N-V. So some solutions have been found. Definitely they can be improved upon. But I think we can work on the Roman script for usage across the world without surrendering the right to write in the script of the state. As in Karnataka, there are more than 4 lakh readers and writers of Kannada, and they would be very happy to write it in Kannada script, which is the script which is used in the state for education also. And the other states, they may like to use Devanagari, that is fine. So my suggestion is we would retain multi-script, go for transliteration, multi-script, multi-language dictionaries, and if acceptable to all, go for the Roman script for the international communication and maybe across the border communications also. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miranda.
I'm just making few, I think, few clarifications. 1939, the first Konkani All India Conference, in which it was a call was given to make Konkani Indo-Nagari script. That time Goa was not liberated. Goa was under the Portuguese. And Konkani in Goa meant Konkani in Roman script. Nobody was writing Konkani in Devanagari script at that time there. Now this decision that was taken, now you already mentioned three Sammelans. If I am not mistaken, now it takes every 2 years. And must be 40-50 Sammelans must have taken place. Even if you go today to attend the Sammelans, only the supporters of Devanagari script attend. And that's how that resolution, every year that Devanagari script should be made one script, one language, one society, that is there. But as Eric has said, nobody has taken, everybody concerned with different scripts in different states to come forward and collectively take a decision. This has not taken place. Secondly, I was surprised to hear when you said you were in Goa in 88, and that time you were in Shirada. That was that is the Marathi heartland. And you are saying that people are saying that Konkani has got no grammar. Maybe the opponents of Konkani.
Not only Shiroda, but even in Panjim and other places. And this is a very common feature all over India. It's not something.
No, but I'll tell you, in 1976, Konkani was recognized by Saitya Academy as an independent language. No, 76. In 1987, Goa passed after a big agitation, Goa recognized Konkani as the official language.
That's what I said. In 87, Konkani was recognized the official language.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what the masses think. You see, whether Saitya Academy recognizes a language or not, whether it gives a word or not, that is not concerned with the local masses. See? And we linguists work with the masses. And this is not the only region which has this answer. Wherever I have gone for work, we always study the languages of minor community. Then they always say, why are you working on our language? It has no grammar. It is not a language. It's a dialect of such and such. This is true. We go to Rajasthan, they say Rajasthan is a dialect of Hindi.
No, but grammar was there because Konkani.
Grammar has to be there.
Konkani education started in Goa.
No language can exist without a grammar. Even if a child speaks few sentences, he has a grammar.
Yeah. Thank you.
He actually made comments which was basically reverberating my saying, Jayapasa saying I should make some comments on Mr. Miranda's suggestions. Well, basically you are endorsing what I had said in most of your comments. So, is there any particular thing that you want? I'm happy to hear you out. So,
would you like to say something on the suggestion that he makes about the Roman script for the larger communication?
Yeah, this is an issue which has come up earlier also in another meeting I attended, that why not Roman script for connectivity? Actually, the whole question is of connectivity. Whom do you want to connect with? If you want to connect with the global, the community, then yes, Roman is one of the solutions. But if had it been Chinese, they wouldn't have agreed to. Chinese also connect to the world. UNESCO has recognized several languages and scripts. So, but if you want to connect to that, fine. But then what will happen to your own region, your own country, within the states of Kerala and Karnataka and others? So I do not know whether that is the solution. Multi-scripted is perhaps looks like the solution. So far, which has been status quo.
Other comments?
John Fernandez.
the immediate question, at least which gave rise to this seminar, or a little bit of a emotional or agitative point of view, is that the Kendra Sahitya Academy recognizes and accepts literature for awards written only in Nara district. And for a long time, people of Karnataka have shown to them that literature produced in Kannada script is much more numerically, even qualitatively, much more than what is produced in the Nagari script. In fact, after the Roman script, the Nagari comes in the third place after that. Whatever, so far, every year when awards were given, the Kannadigas, that is Karnataka people, have to either transliterate their words in Devanagari, and even then it is taken as a second rate. Well, this year we got the award for the poet who did this work of transliterating. The question was, when Mansabhan or when the Karnataka group approached them, they said, no, there should be a national debate on this. And they have been postponing this question. And we would like this seminar to go specifically into this question and see what we can do about it.
I'm happy you mentioned this, because I briefly mentioned this had the Kennedy's award in our district. You see, there was one solution could be, you can write the Sahitya Academy to honor literary traditions of Konkani written in different scripts. Why should it not? The script is only a way of recording the language. So if they are experts to read Malayalam script, they are experts to read Kannada script, they should. So this could be one of the suggestions that Konkani Sangathan can make. I'm all for it, and I think it's a good suggestion. Because transliteration, I did not know this was a transliteration version this time, the Sahitya Academy gave the award. It's unfortunate that people have to transliterate their own original work to get to some place of higher recognition. Because they should be recognized on their own terms. So the author has written in Kannada script, the piece, it should be read in Kannada script, because I'm sure there must be something lost in transliteration also.
I think that they are doing it in spite of being requested.
There is what has happened in the beginning when they started giving Sahitya Academy awards to Konkani. That time they were considering all books coming in any script.
I see.
Because I was one of the, because list was coming to me also to choose best books. And then there used to be books in Roman script, in Kannada script, in Devanagari script, and Malayalam script also. But in 1981, till 80, this method was going on. The only unfortunate part was there. Well, the last three persons who used to choose the final book, they used to, at least two used to be pro Devanagari, and always a Devanagari book always got the prize. In 81, the advisory committee of Sahitya Academy for Konkani took a decision that only literature in Devanagari script should be considered. Now this advisory body is 70% pro Devanagari supporters, whereas hardly 3%, 30% are others, one from Goa, one from Roman script, one from Kerala, one from here. So since then, they started only considering Devanagari script. Then there was a lot of noise. Karnataka, in fact, lead the agitation. They wrote many times this and that. Even some of our friends have gone to the court. But this year, to tell you, the I was surprised to get the list. It was having all the there were books in Roman script, there were books in Kannada script. But what will happen? What happens when it goes to the final selection? Even I was once a member of the last three panel of the three, and I found that there are two Devanagari supporters. They don't somehow or the other allow you to choose a book which is not written in Devanagari. So this is actual thing that is happening while selecting the books for Saitya Academy Awards.
Well, if you know the inside, I'm not in that committee, so I have no idea. But if you know the inside story, you should write to the
Science
Academy
for this protest. Could I just intervene, because this is an issue that concerns the politics of Konkani and script politics of Konkani. The Science Academy, when asked this question, why do you not allow Kannada, Roman and other scripts to be in contention? They are not even allowing the other scripts to be in contention for awards and for assignments and projects. When they were asked very officially, I was the president of the Karnataka Konkani Academy here, I wrote to the Saitya Academy asking them a pointed question. Then they said, it is the decision of your own advisory board of 1981. We are following. So there is an advisory board for all languages, so there is an advisory board for Konkani, and it is the decision of the advisory board. And then I asked them, who were these people in the advisory board? So they provided me a list, and believe me, 8 of them are Devanagari people, one from Maharashtra, one from Karnataka. And usually this selection also is done in such a way that even the people selected are harmless people in their opinion, harmless people who will not raise their voice, will not raise a question. So they have taken it. And now when we persisted, they are saying it is an issue that concerns also other languages in India, where it is written in multi-scripts, like Kashmiri they said, like Dogri they said, and Punjabi they said. So we will, there will be a national debate. And this was in 2008, they told me that there will be a national debate. At that time I pointed out this issue of national debate is only a time delay tactics that you are employing. You are not serious about it. I said, okay, if you have a national debate, have a national debate within 3 months. Make us a party, also do the national debate. We would also like to join, but within 3 months. After which we said we will seek other remedies. We have sought now other remedies to remedy this issue. We have gone to the courts of law seeking a remedy to this issue. So it is a part of the politics of Konkani, and our pleas are two. One, allow all scripts to be in contention. One, we did not say do not give it to Devanagari, only give it to Romi or only give it to the Kannada. We said allow all scripts to be in contention. One. Second is scrap the present advisory board for Konkani and reconstitute it to represent all scripts proportionately. So these are the two contentions. So this will be solved very soon, in my opinion, and we will find a remedy. But this issue of whether we remain a multi-script language group or we should become all illiterates trying to follow one script in Konkani, that is the issue that we need to discuss. Thirdly, I would like to also tell Madam Abhi that we are not trying to seek any solution in this seminar. We are only trying to enlighten ourselves. We know this issue has to be tackled by us. So we will do it. This is the first step we are taking. We want to be informed. We also want to know what is happening elsewhere in the country to other languages with regard to script and language. Also, we would like to know what is happening in the world also. So that is why this seminar we have organized, but we are not seeking any solution here. We are only trying to enlighten ourselves, and your speech was definitely very enlightening. I'll leave it at that.
Sir, madam, I'm Mr. Wilson Madarello, Wilmix Wilson Madarello from Goa. I do understand, and you also understand, that we have a very complex situation here of multiple scripts. It just happens that Konkani has multiple scripts, and we have to live with it. What we do not like is somebody telling us, no, this is right and that is wrong. Give up yours and take up ours. This is the problem here. You said in your talk that ultimately connectivity comes as a problem there. You could survive with all your scripts, but how do you connect with people? Maybe we can come to a solution there also. I remember when I was studying in Mumbai, my minimum instruction was English. Hindi was a national language, so I had to study that also. Marathi was a state language, I had to study that also. I had to live with three languages. So in such a situation, if Indians can live with three languages, one script, why can't we live with one language, three scripts? And have a connectivity, as say, for example, a Roman script, which is a universal language, which is already there also in that. In such a scenario, what do you have to say?
That's a good scenario, I would say, if you can learn several scripts of one language. Because one of the advantages of Konkani varieties is that, as I said, there is a thread of mutual intelligence. So you can read each other, provided you know the script. There is nothing, the way you presented your case as if it was a burden on you to be a multilingual. Let me tell you, multilingualism is not a burden if you are introduced to multilingualism fairly early stage in in the childhood, then it's not a burden, it's not a burden. And now, just a little digression, but let me also inform you that very recent research on brain and neurocognitive research has proved that the bilingual children have a better language processing mechanisms in their brain than a monolingual. And the latest study, which has just come out 6 months ago, you may read this article in Science, has shown that people who are bilingual in childhood have a less possibility of getting Alzheimer's disease in old age. So bilingualism and multilingualism has a very positive effect on our body and mind. You see, so don't take it as an adverse situation. I think we are very lucky to have multilingualism. Multiscriptivism is a little recent phenomenon. And as I said, it is the greatness of Konkani that wherever it has gone, it has adopted the script of that state and has evolved it into that state. So if you want to connect to that state, you have to, it is good to follow that script. And once a child is shown, educated in two or three scripts, a Konkani child, he will have a very greater facility to read literature from all the states. And it's not difficult to learn scripts, let me tell you, because they're all derivatives of Brahmi script. Very few lessons can teach you script. So I myself do not know Kannada script, but I know this, that there is a greater ease in learning this vis-a-vis, let's say, if you had a script like Chinese, or Korean, or Japanese, you see. That would have been,
for
even Hebrew, you know, that would have been much more difficult.
Mangalorean Konkanis are the best bilingual example.
Okay.
We have five languages here, we know. Every Mangalorean Konkani knows five languages. One is his mother tongue Konkani, one is the local language Tulu, one is the state language Kannada, one is the national language Hindi, and the international language English. And then some know even Dari language, which is spoken by the Muslims, and Malayalam. So it's five minimum, seven at times. So this is the scenario we are born in, we live in, and we don't find it a problem at all. So why, I do not understand why script should be a problem for us.
Very good, I'm so happy to hear this. Would you mind if I bring my students here sometimes?
Definitely, you're most welcome.
Give me an example of multilingualism.
Yes, surely,
okay.
Most welcome.
Good evening, I'm Barbara Burger from Germany, and I don't like to speak with a mic, and I'm actually by profession a linguist, But I'm also a Mangalorean coming since 15 years here to Bangalore. And I taught myself a little bit Konkani, a little bit Kannada, because I like the script. And I don't like to be in a country where I can't read what is written there. And whenever I come with my friends, all of us, what you have rightly said, I will simply support. If you grow up as a child with these 5 or 6 or even 7 languages, and we have only our poor English, our poor German, and have some difficulties to learn English, and we admire really this multiplicity of languages and scripts, and why not to write in some scripts that is not, as you said, difficult to teach a child 3, 4, 5 scripts. That makes his brain growing in a better way, and so I encourage you to this, and thanks for your contribution.
Dr. Patasman.
Both of you have said many good points which I agree, but since certain things you have made, my participant may accept like the gospel truth, then I would like to bring to your notice. First thing Professor Valerian said, in Goa, Devanagari script is used by a vast majority. Devanagari script, yes, but what is the language? Marathi, not for Konkani. Let me tell you by proof. We have the one Konkani daily in the entire Konkani world called Sunaprant. It is a colored paper. I am a reader, every day I read it. As a paper, it is a perfect paper. It is got colored, the normal size of a daily. Everything is a plus point. Do you know its circulation? The native circulation, you can check now with your with the publishers. 3,000 are published. For how many years it has been existent? 25 years. How many are sold? Less than 1,000. Less than 1,000. 700 exact. So where is the, what is the point? Devanagari is known to every Hindu community who is a literate. Subhashma, Rotegara, Kotegara Sangha. Let me repeat, every Goan Hindu literate knows Devanagari script. Why they don't read it? What is wrong with this paper? Why do they prefer to read 9 Marathi dailies which are sold in Goa? This is the question you have to reflect. So, simply to say, one script will unite all of us, it will not unite. These people will be read in Bombay, Konkani speakers are there, in Kerala, everywhere. It is not sold. I will come to this point tomorrow in my paper. That's my first observation. Dr. Anvita said, I mean, presumably, based on our facts, that Konkani speakers migrated from Goa to other states and then they took up the scripts there. This is the myth created by, once again, by my friends Goans. Konkani speakers migrated from north, from the western coast, and they settled down at different times in different parts of Konkan, from Gujarat, Maharashtra, Goa, Karnataka and Kerala, along the coast. It is true, the Catholic community of Karnataka migrated, and Maharashtra migrated from Goa, that is true. But not the Hindu community. We have the concept of what is called one word, that means groups. There are different one words came at different times and settled down. Okay? So, the different people took up the different script. Many people do not know that Kannada script used for Konkani was not in Karnataka first. In Goa, 1607, Amadoda Santana wrote Flop Santorum. It's a Latin title, means Garden of Saints. in the lives of the saints in Kannada. Why? Because Kannada script was used for Marathi already in 16th century. And why Kannada script? Because Kadamba were the Kannada kings who were ruling Goa from 9th century. So Kannada script was there already in Goa. So people who migrated, they brought it here now. So it is not in here they adopted Kannada script. Historically, that is not true. So in such a situation, a multiple script at this moment is a very healthy. Otherwise, what will happen? We insist with one script, people give up Kokani. Is it fair to anybody to impose, even in Kannada script in Karnataka? No, because we have Navayat Muslim community in here, just another, you go about 60 kilometers, Bhadkal, that area, Dagri and Navayat community, they use Perso Arabic script. And they showed me once, they have a manuscript written 200 years ago. Who am I to tell them, give up that? Because they write for their own community. In Kerala, what happened? They exist with Devanagari. What has happened today? In Kerala, there are only Konkani speakers. There are no Konkani writing. Finish, gone. If there are anybody in Kerala, they can say, how many people in Kerala today write Konkani? How many? Very, very few. They write in Malayalam. If they write, they write in Malayalam. So they insist on Devanagari. Why one person? There's only one school in Kerala teaching Konkani. And you ask them how many numbers? Nobody is ready to give the numbers. It is a guarded secret, like a national security secret. Why? These are the questions you have to ask seriously. And this group, let us not go by emotion. Let us go by facts. What is the ground reality? Ground reality, we are different communities living very happily. And Navayat community is not questioning us, why writing in Kannada script? Kannada script are not questioning Roman script, why writing a Roman script? Roman script community is not asking us, why writing in Kannada script? We are quite happy because we write for our own community, we read for our own community. We are happy community.
Thank you, Dr. Nair.
Madam, I am speaking for recognition of a script. Please correct me if I am wrong. Like in democracy, ruled by the majority, voting, human system. Same way, to recognize the script, why not use the Aztec of majority? Will it be a wrong thing? The majority people who use the script can be made as a official script. Will it be a wrong thing?
It would not be wrong thing if you have democratic. It won't be wrong thing if you have democratic rights given to people in each state. But if one state is given the democratic rights to choose. Oh, you are not from Sahitya Academy. But how does
the why not? Yeah. Can you repeat it?
Sahitya Academy recognizes Nagari only. Uh-huh. Why not a democracy process where the majority's usage of a script is recognized for literature work?
See, I'm not a spokesperson for Sahitya Academy, so I cannot give an answer to that. But as Mr. Eric just explained, the Sahitya Academy had been giving awards in Nagari because they said in 1981, it is your organization which gave us this directive. So if there's some confusion, that should be solved and mitigated. So I cannot answer for that. And let me tell you, script, the decision of script, if you're taking the decision of script by the voting, it will not solve the problem. Because what one state vote for one script, the other state may not vote for the script. And then the other script, the other state which is already writing Konkani in different scripts, will get a loss.
Why does Nagari solve it by the Roman script? Is
that
true?
So I couldn't hear you, sir.
Nagari people solve the problem.
Nagari.
By adopting the Roman script.
Nagari did not solve. solve the problem. You see, Naga languages were not written before. They didn't have a history like you do. They didn't have a literary tradition of written literary tradition like their oral tradition of many, many years, no doubt about it. So they had to choose a script for the first time because, you know, the state language is English. That is another thing. The state language is English in all the northeastern countries. So for them to choose a script which is Roman is much easier for a state where the state language is not English.
With the permission of the chair, just like to say this, that the moment we speak of script in Konkani, the question that is thrown at us is which is the official script, okay? And but continuously a particular group has been telling us that Devanagari is the only official script for Konkani. Telling us, sitting somewhere in their own pendal, they gather once in 2 years and they declare that the official script for Konkani is Devanagari. Okay, now this is resisted and therefore it has added, not only, it has created the confusion and confounded the confusion. So, and they have also managed to capture certain power centers. One is the Kendra Sahitya Academy. Second is the Act in Goa, where a clause was added, a mischievous clause, after the when the act was passed, the official language of Goa shall be Konkani as written in Devanagari. That clause was added at that instance, and it has created a lot of one shot. They have completely kept one community away from all state patronage. The community which rides in, so it has also created communal tensions and confusions, divisions. So this is it. So the question of democratic process, I have also stated in my presentation at the end. I said JKS also proposes to set in motion a democratic process involving the practitioners of all scripts, gather everybody together, which will decide the issue of the official script. That is to decide, because we would need, definitely I do concede, because in the note, in the currency note, it is also written, Chambar Rupiye. In what script should it be written? Just because we write in five different scripts, we cannot ask them to write in five different scripts there. So we will have to, for these purposes, have a script, agree on a script that will represent us in these official matters. But that does not mean only that script will get all the state patronage, all the other scripts will be cheated of all the privileges, which the Sahitya Academy is presently doing. So this democratic process has to be we have to gather together, we have to gather people of all the scripts together and come to a conclusion on this issue of the official script. But it does not mean only that official script will get all the benefits and no other script will be given any benefits because we have agreed on an official script. But for now, we will not concede that Devanagari is our official script because it has not been decided through a democratic process.
This is the last interview.
I'm giving this information. Sometimes it will be better for you people. See, the language agitation of 1987. Thousands of people, Goans, came out. Not even 10% were supporters of Devanagari Lami. 90% and above, the people who were coming to agitate were supporters of Roman script. Seven people died, all supporters of Roman script. And when the act was made, in the sense, I don't know, they compromised with Marathi. You'll be surprised to know the wordings of our Goa Act. What does it say? Konkani shall be the official language of the state of Goa, and Marathi shall be used for all official purposes. This is the... Now, for this, in order to make this compromise, the Marathi Wadis and the Devanagari Wadis came together. And Devanagari Wadis put a condition. Okay, we will make it like this, provided you give a definition of the Konkani language that it should be only in Devanagari speaking. I was directly involved in the editation. And this was the greatest betrayal that I had seen by our own friends who fought together, and within, on the same day when that it was passed, the next day there was a big division among the people. The people were united to make Konkani the official language with one sentence of definition, totally were divided in one second. That was the unfortunate part.
And then the name of the script was not mentioned
in
this act?
No, actually when we were addressing the people.
In the act,
1987
act.
Yes, yeah, that earlier, everybody was saying what happened that even that time, leadership of writers conquering the Romani script was much more than the Devanagari script. And everybody felt that we are fighting for conquering. Even the Konkani leader of the Devanagari script leaders have made this thing, the script which shall decide, let the people say, I want Romani script or I want Devanagari script. That choice was not given at all. It is from the background. I who was in the direct movement with the leaders, I came to know the next day from the peoples that the definition of Konkani is Konkani in Devanagari script. So this was the greatest betrayal, and therefore this act is never implemented in Goa. Today, the act is not at all implemented. Almost 20 years are gone by. Only English is going. So this is the unfortunate part of that movement.
Friends, some of the issues that have come up today definitely are going to be repeated tomorrow. But let me, at the cost of simplifying some of the big issues that have come up, just summarize the discussion that has taken place this afternoon with Professor Amita Abhi's presentation. Professor Abhi, correct me if in case you feel that my emphasis is going against the spirit of your presentation. The first major point that Professor Abhi made was that there is no organic linkage between language and script. That different people have used different script, different linguistic communities have used different scripts, and different scriptural communities have used different languages. Endorsing a position that initially came to be expressed by the organizers. At the same time, she argued that most of the Indian languages originate from the Brahmi script, and therefore there is a certain kinship across all the scripts in India. And given this particular kind of kinship, there are certain consequences that people can actually learn the scripts across India much better than they can learn scripts that originate in a non-Brahmi script. And I think it is important to note this particular point. At the same time, she made a third big point. While arguing this issue, she made a major point that today, because of increased communication and interaction across people, people have come to use the Roman script extensively in terms of the global communication. And that holds good also with regard to Konkani. And this development cannot be wholly ignored when we actually begin to discuss issues related to script. That is, something has come up new and people have to communicate, and people are increasingly communicating in the Roman script. This particular fact has to be taken into account. Several speakers raised the issues of public policy. What should be the kind of policy with regard to recognition of literature produced across script? You could see that Professor Abhi did not want to take a very strong stand there, but from her position took the stand that it is important that this public policy, existing public policy, needs to be changed. And there should not be something called transliteration, that it is important that literature produced in a particular script be recognized for its work. He took a very bold stand with regard to this. And generally, public policy is a matter to be addressed, not necessarily on the streets, but there is a certain consensus that can be evolved, and I'm sure that tomorrow, as we discuss, some consensus would be evolved. And our joint statement in this regard could make some difference in terms of, you know, making some of the issues that Eric Ozerio raised early being listened to by other people who are concerned about this. It may not actually dictate terms to public policy, but I'm sure that there is something called the weightier and more intelligible opinions around. And with this, and of course Professor Rathi made a very strong suggestion, which came to be endorsed by a couple of speakers, that it is important to develop a multi-script dictionary with regard to Konkani, and I am sure that there is a broad agreement with regard to this. One of the ways of approaching this issue. There are several concerns related to politics, dominance, appropriation of the resources that entire community of Konkani speakers has developed by certain segments, and that concern remains with us. I'm sure that that concern is accepted by all of us here, and that concern we will actually reflect a little more tomorrow.
I think
you
summarized
okay.
It very
okay. Good. Thank you. Yeah. Tariq Bab, you want to make a vote?
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Abhi. Thank you, Dr. Valerian. Thank you all. But I'm here not only to thank, to request you to stay on for the drama. They are ready there. You, all that we do is go to the amphitheater and watch a drama by Konkani's only Jnanpith Award winner, late Ravindra Kelkar, based on his story. Our theatre group, Kalakul Theatre Repertory, is present in the drama. This is their third performance. And they are putting this up only for you. So after the drama, it's 1.5 hours. We will have dinner together and then gather here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Okay? Please don't go away. Please stay for the drama. The youth are just waiting to present the show for you.
Thank you.